Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Psalms, the 107th chapter, the 23rd and the 24th verses. And it says, "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they shall see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." The Storytelling Time program this week is the first story coming from chapter 3 of the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The Fruition. The title of the chapter is Cruising. And the title of the story is Boarding and Set Sail. Before we start with our story, I would like you to consider the following tips for becoming an author. We will conclude the internet article, 11 Top Tips in Becoming an Author That Really Works. We finished with tip number 7 the last time. So this show starts with tip number 8, which is, try self-publishing. The article states that Amazon is a good place to start the self-publishing process. The big advantage of self-publishing is in the minimal cost, but you have to do your research and contract for certain services like proofreading and cover design. Tip number 9 is to take a creative writing class. This will allow you to communicate with future professional authors. Tip number 10 is to explore different types of writing. It is recommended that you try various writing venues like technical writing, copywriting, and freelancing. The last tip, number 11, is to create book sales. Here are some suggestions given on this aspect. Set up your author website, build an email list of engaged readers, run promotions regularly, and study and work with Amazon ads. We'll be back with our story after a break. Welcome back. After a full day in the Big Apple on Monday, Maggie and her friends had a hearty breakfast at the hotel on Tuesday morning of their departure. Afterward, everyone was packed and ready to take a shuttle the short distance to the dock where they were eager to be on their way to Bermuda. Their cruise ship would depart that afternoon and wouldn't return until a week later. Soon, the hustle and bustle of the city would give way to a more serene environment on board the Rhythm of the High Seas, when many activities awaited them. The 8-day cruise would be something they all would remember for a long time, but the real experience would not come until they reached their destination on the island of Bermuda. Everyone who arrived at the dock boarded the ship in stages and in alphabetical order. The sound of people talking, anticipating the cruise, was all around. Members of Maggie's group were separated within a huge sheltered area until their names were called. Then, in sequence, they all funneled out of the area and eventually came back together just prior to when everyone was to board the ship. It took them over an hour for everyone to get on board. As they stood in line, Maggie became tired. So she said to her husband,
"Let's take a seat here on this bench until the line starts to move again, Fred."
"Okay, Mag, let's do that. It seems that it'll be a while before we get moving again. We're fortunate no one else has taken this bench."
Both Maggie and Fred had become content after having taken their seat. They just sat there, looking at people. people they had never met. Soon after they took their seats, Maggie said to her husband,
"Fred, this feels much better than standing. And with our sitting here, away from that line, no one will hear us when we talk. You know, we can be kind of loud at times. Anyway, I've never seen so many people. And the interesting thing is that no one knows anybody else, unless they're together with someone they signed up to be with, like we are."
"It is a lot of people here, Mag. And yeah, that is interesting that we're all strangers. But let me say this. You said we didn't know any of these people. Well, because of that, we're not aware of how much people are different from one another. We just don't know them. But just look at everybody, Mag. Everyone is unique in their own way."
Then, after a brief time not talking to one another, Fred and Maggie, as before, just sat there, continuing to observe people. After a while, Fred said,
"You know, I've been thinking, Mag. The way we're looking at people now is the way God looks at them. Looks at all of us. And I'm talking about the fact that he looks at everyone individually. And he looks at them and us without judging any one person based on how they may be different from other folks. I'm talking about the personal traits we have, like how we look or how much or how little money we have, or what our personality might be like."
That's interesting.
"It's more than interesting, Mag. It's the truth. God accepts us the way we are, our faults included. But let me also say now that he wants us to improve and get rid of anything that's not good. You know, many of those faults we have are the very things that are holding us back, back from having the joy he wants us to have. But God works within each one of us individually to help us get rid of the bad for one purpose, to build character."
That's quite insightful, Fred. But let me caution you that God is a God of judgment. In other words, we can't just do whatever we want. There are consequences for our wrongful actions, you know.
"I know, honey. I was just trying to make a point."
After Maggie gave her husband a compliment before talking about the consequences of wrong actions, out of the blue, Fred made an observation about a person standing in line. He said,
"Hey, Mag, look at that guy over there. I don't want to point, but don't you think he looks a little weird?"
"Now, Fred, you're contradicting yourself. You don't even know that man. And you just finished talking about how we shouldn't judge people. Now practice what you preach, honey."
"Okay, Mag. I get it."
"But I want you to know that most of what you said is good, Fred. And I'll tell you something else. God is not as interested in how people look on the outside as he is in the quality of their heart or their spirit. These qualities come from within a person, as you know. And you mentioned character. Well, Fred, I'm sure you realize that it's those godly qualities in your heart that give you the motive to do what's right. And that's what's pleasing to God. So, any way you look at it, an improvement in character affects how we treat other people. That is to say, in a non-judgmental way, without compromising our faith. This is what pleases him more than anything."
"Amen to that, honey. And sorry I got out of line there a little bit."
"Don't worry about it, Fred. You're still my sweetie. But listen, most of what you said was very insightful. You know you can be quite spiritual when you want to be."
"Oh, Mag,"
was Fred's simple response. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. As they stood in line for what felt like hours, Maggie revisited what Fred had said earlier about the differences among people. They got back into line from where they were sitting as it moved along. But again, soon the line was moving hardly at all. That's when they found another bench near where they were sitting before. So again, they took advantage of it and separated themselves from others in the line. They sat there until the line started moving again. But that took a while. They continued the discussion they had earlier as they sat there. Maggie said,
"Well, Fred, going back to what you said earlier about how we can't tell what people are like because we don't know them, it was a very good point. Yeah, unless it's identical twins, no two people are alike. We all have our unique identity, our differences. And I've read somewhere that even identical twins have some differences that frequently can't be recognized by anyone else other than their parents and sibling. The great thing is that even when we meet and become acquainted with someone, we still might not know their inner feelings, what's deep down in their hearts, in their souls."
"Well, Mag, we've been together for some time now. Does what you say mean that there's still something about you I don't know?"
"No, Fred. Let's not get confrontational."
Maggie wanted to avoid that question posed by her husband because she knew the answer would reveal her involvement with her co-worker, Freddie, years ago. Then she continued to say,
"Listen, Fred, I'm just saying that God is the only one who knows everything about us, and that's why we can go to Him and tell Him about our problems. And by the way, we also can ask Him for anything we may desire, and He will answer. Now, the answer may be no, but He will answer. We just have to trust that He will do the best thing for us, even if we don't get what we want."
Fred then replied,
"Now, I don't want to be confrontational, Meg, as you put it, but I will say that after all you just said, you're quite spiritual yourself, like you told me earlier."
"Oh, Fred."
After a while, the highly spiritual discussion between Fred and Maggie had ceased. The hour finally had arrived after the line had moved, when everyone would be near the large vessel that would take them to their destination. Soon, they would begin boarding. It would be another long and laborious process, but well worth the effort and the time. "Wow, what a large ship," Wynn said as they approached the huge ocean liner, as it was still anchored to the dock. Maggie was standing with Fred near where Katie and her son were. Most of those in Maggie's group had gotten back together. They stood there in awe as they gazed at the huge windows on the side of the vessel that appeared to be at least as high as a 4-story building. That's when Maggie said to her friend,
"Katie, I agree with your son."
"See, Wynn, Maggie agrees with you."
"Thank you, Miss Maggie."
"You know you're welcome, Wynn."
"Your agreement with Wynn really adds to his confidence, Maggie."
"Okay. Well, yeah, Wynn, I can see in those windows up there, and they appear to be so large. Yep, everything about this ship is big."
Then Maggie turned her attention to Katie.
"But you know, Katie, the windows are so large that I can see dining tables covered in white linen. You can see them. Look, can't you see?"
That's when Katie also looked up, then said to Maggie,
"I can, girl. Yeah, I can see those tables, and I can't wait to dine in there."
Maggie imagined herself formally dressed, sitting in the dining hall, enjoying an exquisite meal while cruising in the middle of the ocean. Then Katie further confirmed Maggie's thoughts when she said to her son, then to her friend,
"I agree with you, Wynn, and you too, Maggie. This ship is huge. And yeah, Maggie, I look forward to having dinner at one of those tables. You know, I've heard that dining on a cruise ship is really nice. Like I said, I can't wait to dine in there."
"Well, we will soon be able to. I feel myself getting hungry. Yeah, Katie, soon we'll find out how nice it is to have a meal there. And I've heard that the food is excellent on these cruise ships."
Yes, as Maggie said, soon all in the group would find out how nice dining would be on the cruise liner, as well as other activities they would be exposed to. They all now were on board the cruise liner. When lodging reservations were made, Gates tried his best to get rooms as close to one another as possible. The room where Maggie and Fred resided was located on a lower level, near the middle of the ship, at quite a distance from where Courtney and Gates were staying. Sandra was the only one with a single room, since Katie and her son Wynn had their room together. Both Sandra and Katie had rooms near the end of the opposite side of the ship from where Courtney and Gates were located. Members of the group talked a lot. At every opportunity, they were together. It was finally decided that it would be best if Katie and Sandra would room together. Katie posed the idea to Wynn when she said,
"Hey, Wynn, how would you like to have the room we're in all by yourself? I've been talking to Sandra and we concluded that it would make more sense for the two of us to room together. I told her I could move in with her in the room she has and you can have this room all by yourself. And as I said, now, what do you say about that?"
"Oh, that's great, Mom." As Wynn answered his mother, he saw this as an opportunity to finally be totally by himself. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Everyone now was safely aboard the Rhythm of the High Seas after a long and laborious boarding process. As everyone separated for their night's activities, Wynn went immediately to the top deck to witness the ship's departure from the port of New York. Together with a few other onlookers, everyone there had a clear view of the Manhattan skyline. The ship started its journey, and even workers at the port waved their goodbyes to those on board as the cruisers gazed down over the railing as they drifted away. Yes, slowly, the vessel glided its way along the Hudson River, passing well-known tourist attractions like the Empire State Building and eventually the Statue of Liberty. It was Wynn's first view of this part of the city. He lived with his mother, Katie, on Staten Island, the borough of the city that was more residential with fewer high-rises and more single-family homes. He wasn't accustomed to the massive skyline he was now seeing that was on the other side of the river from his home back in Staten Island. As the cruise liner continued its track further out into the Atlantic Ocean, the skyscrapers of Manhattan still could be seen, but more and more the buildings were becoming smaller and smaller as the cruise ship drifted further away. It was then that Wynn realized that there was no turning back. The trip that he hesitated to take now gave him no options. He was on his way to Bermuda. He found contentment in the fact that soon he would be on the beach, and he loved everything the beach had to offer. Wynn continued to relax on the top deck. It would be the beginning of a grand experience. With the Manhattan skyline now having all but disappeared in the distance behind the vessel, Wynn was content as he stood there, now looking out toward the unseen destination of Bermuda, with the ocean and the horizon in front of him. With the city skyline out of view, now there was nothing but ocean, only water as far as the eye could see. The clear day would soon transition into twilight, so he decided to walk back to his room and change into sporting attire. His intent was to walk to an area of basketball courts that he had seen. He wanted to get in a few hoops before the darkness of night set in. He had other plans for later that evening. Wynn was not alone in viewing the city prior to its disappearance from view. Several passengers lingered along with him to see the vessel continue its sail towards Bermuda. Soon, Wynn had made the change into that sporting attire, and he walked to the courts ready to play ball. He had no misgivings about not joining his mother, the Mints, and the Manleys at the jazz concert. He loved his independence. After spending almost 2 hours playing ball, he became tired. He went back to his room and took a quick shower. Then he walked around to view some of the attractions on the ship. We'll take a break now, and when we return, we'll finish the story for today. Welcome back. Wynn continued his own little cruise. He spent an enjoyable time cruising around throughout the ship. Wynn eventually ventured into an area called the Boardwalk, which featured games and a variety of boutiques, like what you would find on a real boardwalk, like in Atlantic City. It brought to mind the time he and his mother visited a friend of hers there and made a visit to the famous Iron Landing, an amusement park on a long pier extending from the boardwalk out into the ocean. He saw the beach as an extension of the boardwalk, and it was love at first sight. He saw a variety of small shops, including a soda shop, where mainly young people would hang out. On his way to the soda shop, Wynn went by the lounge to check on his mother and everyone in the group one last time before the evening's festivities. While most in the group had planned to attend a concert that night, unlike his Central Park experience back in New York, no one could convince Wynn now to attend this event. He soon would find being alone during this evening would be well worth the wait. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say and would like you to remember that whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.